Blog Talk Radio.com.
It's time for the most knowledgeable and informative show based around the world of professional wrestling. Thought we weren't supposed to use that word anymore. OWW Radio, with your host, Mr. Personality, Alan Wojcik.
It's not my fault I happen to be charismatic.
Along with the loudmouth assassin, the Spud Guy.
I just act that way to get chicks, dumbass.
The resident Aussie, Mace.
I am not going to lie to these people just because it makes them feel good.
Guest starring Kevin Scott as Jamal.
What it is, my mizzles, I got chilling for shizzle!
What?
It's time for OWW Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the folks at the Wild Talk Radio Network. You can also listen to us live tonight via UltimateSportsTalk.com, and in a couple weeks, we will be starting live on WRWWrestling.net, so if you're tuning into us on Thursday night there, thank you for taking time before TNA Wrestling Impact starting. Our number is always, if you wish to talk to us at any point during the program, is 267-297-1397, or you can Skype Sir Rockin', that is two words. During the 10 o'clock hour, we'll get into all the fun that happened on Monday Night Raw and preview the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, and we'll also get into a recap of Destination X, which was a lot of fun to watch. I'm ready, Spug. I'm ready.
You never, ever debate me. I try to goad you into them. I try to flat out ask you to, and you always just kind of sidestep, and you're like, I don't feel like it. You're debating me on this. You're not getting out of this one.
We will.
Because I wanted to reach through my computer at you last night.
Yeah, I know. Everybody today has been emailing me asking, so what'd you think of Raw? And I'm like, we'll talk about it on the show. We'll talk about it on the 900 number or the Cabana podcast. And at 9:30, we are going to be honored with a true legend in the business. And I always get smacked for this going, you use a legend too much. No, he's a legend. He has performed in Florida Championship Wrestling. At one point, he had the most humongous heat on him here in Florida, and we'll talk about that. He is known in certain circles as the Taskmaster. He is known as the Dungeon Master, the Games Master. Brian Pillman called him the Booker Man. The one and only Kevin Sullivan will be with us because he was a part of a documentary that we are going to talk about right now. It's actually available on DVD today through Cinema Libre Studio. You can get it online and possibly in retail stores. We'll talk about that with the producer of the film. His name is James Subasis, and his director is also joining us. Tim Disborough is here. Thank you, gentlemen, both, for taking time out of your schedule to help us out with this movie.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you for having us.
I guess the first obvious question who came to who first with this idea? Was it Tim approaching James or James approaching Tim? And what led to the birth of this idea?
I'll let Tim explain it to you.
This is Tim. I went to James with this idea. It was something I wanted to do. It was a topic that I was really interested in. I was, a longtime wrestling fan, and I saw the independence as a, it comes about independent wrestling. And I kind of saw it as an untold story. I feel like people have touched on it in the past in different projects, but I felt like it was kind of an untapped, storyline. So I approached James, who I knew had the connections that I didn't have within the business to kind of get the thing off the ground. And, we sort of worked together with his connections and my, film, whatever you'd call it, And, you know, kind of took the project from there.
You know, as I sit here with the DVD in front of me, actually, because I watched it when it showed up in the mail a couple of weeks ago, and I got off work early today and popped it in again, and I specifically went to one part, and that was a part about Necro Butcher.
Right.
I'm not really sure how you guys did it, but kudos to you in making him look the way that he actually is, and that's extremely intelligent.
Yeah, very surprising.
Yeah.
I've talked to him outside of some of the shows that he's been at in the Cleveland area, because I work around the area, but I don't work on a lot of the bigger promotion cards, so I don't really get to see some of the bigger name talent. I have.
Sure.
You know, as in the back, but sometimes I'll just go because I have buddies that are working there or whatnot, and I'll get in and talk to them. But I've talked to Necro Butcher a couple of times, and he is extremely intelligent, a very bright guy, but the wrestling media seem to portray him as just this, you know, idiot savage who likes to get hit with light bulbs, and I just wanted to express kudos to you guys for making him look like he actually is intelligent.
I mean, I think that is not just with him, but, you know, with him also, he falls into this. It was something we were very careful about. I mean, our kind of, you know, motto or technique going into this was to not spin it in any one direction. You know, I don't have any agenda. James didn't have any agenda. You know, none of the other people involved had an agenda that we were trying to get across. We just kind of wanted to show it the way it was. I feel like sometimes, you know, it gets covered by mainstream media, independent wrestling does, who don't really give it, they try and build something out of it that maybe isn't there, which is, I think, unfair to the people who get, you know, involved in the projects. So, I mean, I think our, you know, mentality all along was just show it the way it really is. Show these people for who they really are, because you don't need to make a character out of these people. They're characters in themselves naturally.
Yeah.
When you guys set out to do this, did you have a list of individuals that you wanted to talk to, or did it just kind of come along as you went?
I mean, I went to James with a list of people who I thought would, you know, fit into certain stories. Because, I mean, the thing I definitely went in with was that we wanted to cover independent wrestling from every vantage point. From a promoter, from a legend, from a rookie, from an up-and-coming guy, from a veteran. So there were people who we had written down who I think would fit into those categories. But, I mean, if someone came along, and I think most of the people who ended up being in the film were not people we originally talked about.
Yeah, it snowballed once we got connected with Kevin. It kind of snowballed from there, and the movie took another form, if you want to say that. And that's how we ended up with the other cast, the other wrestler that you saw in the movie. Yeah, you know, so it kind of the way we started it is not the way people we had in the beginning in mind weren't the guys that ended up in the end of the movie. So it did snowball for the better. Yeah, for sure.
Was it a decision to do as you know, the way it portrays, at least in my view, I don't know about Spug's view, is that you had the star on the rise at that time in Addicted to Love, Rhett Titus, who's now a part of Ring of Honor, and then
right.
You had the star who should be shining and Michael Trinasadverdi, and then you had the veterans such as Kevin Sullivan, who we'll talk to later on. Kamala's in here. You've also had the Percy Pringle, who was just amazing to see. I was sitting there going, it's amazing to remember what Percy sounds like when he's not going, oh yes, like crazy. Was that the idea that you had, that both of you sat down and said, this is how we should map it out? One star on the rise, one who should be somewhere, and two or three that are kind of on their way out, but they're the father figures to everyone in the business?
Yeah, definitely. That was what we definitely went into the project with, the, you know, if you're going to say a map or a, you know, a framework, that was the framework that we went into it with, initially. Yeah, definitely.
Now, when you're sitting there talking to, you know, guys like, like Sullivan or the promoter from Jersey. And the one thing that interested me that I wish you guys would have expounded upon a little bit, or at least thrown a little, you know, blank screen up with what actually happened, is the promoter from Jersey's talking about booking a show and trying to find somebody to wrestle. And they start talking about Trent Acid. And right. Then all of a sudden he gets a phone call. And he starts, you know, getting pretty loud into his phone, and you guys just cut away. I'm like, I was sitting there, I'm like, what happened? I wanted to know what happened.
I know what he's talking about. I think, Paul says, excuse me, when we're doing the interview, and he says, excuse me.
Oh, he says, excuse
yeah.
me?
To be honest with you, I don't think the phone call was anything
important. Yeah, if it was, I'll be honest with you, I'm not even so sure I remember the scene. I mean, if it was something where we cut away, it was probably, you know, it was going off topic or something like that. We tried to keep continuity within, you know, what we were trying
right,
to give it
I,
an ABB sort of. my brain's jargled enough. We tried to keep it really on track, you know.
No, I understand, but just the way that the movie was, the way that the documentary flows, and the way that all parts, you know, interconnect and intertwine is
right.
Fantastically done. But
thank
just
you.
that specific moment, as a viewer of it, someone who I prefer to watch documentaries over actual movies because I learn more.
Right, yeah, me too.
You know, I was kind of enthralled. I wanted to hear, you know, because it was real urgent. He's like, excuse me, and
right.
walked off camera, and I'm like, I wonder what that was about.
Yeah, I had the same feeling. I was just like, wait, follow him. Where's he going?
Right. Now, I do want to ask this. As you're, they're sitting there, they're talking, you guys, Kevin Sullivan, he did this spot with Billy Gunn.
Right.
And I kind of laughed. Because Billy Gunn said something to the effect after the spot's over, they're in the back, and he walks up to Kevin Sullivan and shakes his hand. He goes, it was an honor to get my ass kicked by you. And I'm going, what an odd thing to say.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what kind of moments were in the documentary that maybe got on, that were on the cutting room floor that didn't get into the documentary like that.
Oh, boy. I mean, we shot 250 hours.
Holy cow.
Yeah, we started shooting in January of 06, and we finished shooting around late October, early November of 09. So to go through all of that, I mean, I'm sure there were moments that, you know,
any stick out in your mind?
Honestly, if there was anything like that, I probably put it in the film because, I mean, anything, you know, that really resonated or I thought would resonate with people as a, you know, as a way that these guys interact, it went into the film. I mean, I think part of, one thing it's in the film that I'm thinking about is, there's a scene with Kevin Sullivan where he's about to go out to the ring with, a local guy, the Equalizer. And I thought there was just sort of an interesting interaction for people if they don't, if they're not privy, I guess, to this sort of access, where they just hug each other before the match and say, you know, have a good time, I'll see you out there. I thought that served two purposes. I thought, one, it showed you what their real-life interaction is like, and two, it also kind of got any questions of, is this going to be an expose out of the way? Because I think that's a kind of washed-up subject, you know. And it wasn't what we wanted to do, but we didn't make a movie about if wrestling real is wrestling fake. So I kind of wanted to get that right out of the way and not say it's either, because I don't think either of those words are right for it. But I think that's a scene that sticks out in my mind as a cool interaction between wrestlers.
Yeah.
James Tubasis and Tim Disparo joining us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio, Birth of the Wild Talk Radio Network. How did you guys approach Johnny Falco and his, cause he said, as your press notes say, and he says in the film, he had been involved in a roller derby and his promotion has been running for years and kind of partners with Women Superstars Uncensored from time to time. Did you guys think of maybe talking to Ring of Honor about this or Northeast Wrestling? What made you guys choose him as opposed to other promoters in the Northeast? Because from what I've been told by friends up there, you can't walk 5 feet without running into a wrestling promoter.
Yeah, that's pretty true. The reason was he had, and I think a lot of people have said this in reviews and whatnot, that he was like what a Hollywood screenwriter would write a wrestling promoter as. I mean, he's the real deal.
He's P.T. Barnum.
He's as original a wrestling promoter as there was. And I also think he had the history we were looking for. I think that a lot of the promoters who are out there now, not that they're inexperienced, but they don't have sort of the story that he has with his past. I mean, coming from roller derby, you know, which is just phenomenal, into pro wrestling in the 70s, and to be in it this long, and to have the outlook on it that he has, which is very much an old school sort of outlook, I think that's what drew us to him, and it was James who had that connection, really.
I've had a relationship. I'm working with Joe, Johnny Falco, for many years, since like 97 or so. So it was just everything just fit in. I mean, he's given us access. We had carte blanche to do, to go where we wanted, no restrictions or anything. So it was really a no-brainer for what Tim said. He's the prototypical, if you were going to build an independent wrestling promoter, you would follow the model of Joe. That's it. Like I said, him giving us the access, the open access to anything we wanted was a no-brainer for us. We had no restrictions. We didn't have to worry about doing anything or shutting the camera off at any time. We just had, like I said, carte blanche to do whatever we wanted. Whatever was happening, we filmed. There's nothing that they told us, oh, you guys can't film this. I mean, as you saw, we got to count money, sitting there counting money, we could film everything. So,
which I think was very much related to our approach with how we approach people with it was, look, we want to make a no-nonsense a documentary. We don't want to make a reality show. Or we don't want to make, some fictionalized story, that we're going to spin and edit in some fancy way. We just want to, shoot it and cut it clean and show people the way it is.
Were you your own DP, or did you have other folks with you doing all this? Is this just you, one digital video camera, and let's go, or did you have friends helping you out along the way?
You basically got the picture. It was me with dragging my equipment behind me.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
a lot of video. Holy God. I'm just trying to imagine sitting there, you two sitting there going, so what's the final count? 2.5 million hours of footage. Honey,
yeah,
it's nice seeing you. Bye.
Yeah, I mean, in the edit, I had people who I would, refer to, and, I would cut sequences together and take them to certain people. Scott McHugh was our post-production supervisor. I would sit down with him after I'd cut something and go, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? I shot and edited the whole film.
Yeah. Wow. It was really just two of us on location everywhere we went. It was just, Tim setting everything up and me running around to gathering everybody one by one into the room.
Yeah, it was James setting up what we were shooting, and then I would come and shoot it. So it was a nice team.
Both of us had the same feeling, and we talked about it off the call, about Michael Verdi, Trent Acid, how you see him in the beginning of this film, and for fans that don't know the name, he was one half of the Backseat Boys with Johnny Cashmere, who will be our guest next week, and also did some solo work. And as he's portrayed by Falco in the film, when he wanted someone to work Billy Kidman, it was the first person he thought of, but of course the issues. How hard was it for both of you to see this unfortunate descent into his own personal hell that unfortunately ended in tragedy?
I mean, when we approached, you have to remember when we were approached him about doing the film, it was 2006. He was still at the top of the independents. He still looked, he had the look. He was in incredible condition at, in
at that point. And we went to him because we thought we're going to have a guy in our film who's going to be on TV in the next 2 years. You know, we have a guy who, we went to him because we were going to have a guy in our film who, you know, it was inevitable that he was going to be a big star. And, you know, we thought, wow, what a great story. Here's this guy right before he gets on TV. You know, if you have any history of, you know, knowledge of Trent, you know that that's kind of not how things turned out. Which really, I think, for James and I, came as one of those things where we had committed, we had filmed a lot of stuff with Trent at that point, and, you know, we lost him in the film, and it says that in the film, and that's the God's honest truth. All the numbers that we had were no good. We had no way of getting in touch with him for a little while, which is when sort of he had spent time in jail, and sort of his demons became a little more public at that point.
Yeah.
It was not, you know, and I spoke about this earlier before we got on the air about it was not one of those things. And I think sometimes people watch documentaries that have these, you know, these tragic stories and think that the filmmaker is going, oh, wow, this is gold. It could not be further from the truth because, I mean, some of the stuff is pretty heavy. And, you know, you leave there, you know, you set up and you shoot and then you leave and you just want to sleep for 3 days. You know, you're drained emotionally. So it was hard to see that kind of descent, you know, if you want to call it that, happen, and very, very tragic. But the one thing that we are very proud of is the fact that Trent saw the film.
He saw the completed version of it.
What's out today, Trent saw. There's obviously one title card at the end of the film that was not in the cut he saw, which addresses his passing, but nothing has been added or taken out from what he saw. He was at the premiere in January of 2010, and the second the lights came up, he came up and gave me a big hug and said that he was proud of us and that, the film was great and that it was honest and left feeling good about it.
And the most important thing, well, Cindy mentioned that he didn't know, you know, if we had probably about 300 people there, I would say he knew maybe 25 of them. He stood by the exit of the theater and shook everybody's hand.
Right.
And said thank you to everybody. Almost everybody. I mean, people scattered out through other exits, but he made a point to stay there and shake everybody's hand and say thank you for coming. Hope you enjoyed the film.
So it was very important to us to maintain what he saw. You know, so that way, you know, it was something he approved. It was the story that he felt comfortable being told, and because it was the truth, because there was nothing fictionalized at all. So, you know, that's a very big thing with us, is that this is the film that he saw.
As your press notes say, this was filmed from January 2006 on November 2009.
Right.
You guys have gotten great praise from this. Mick Foley, Ken Anderson, Taz have all sounded off on this. Have you gotten any negative feedback at all from anybody that you could share with us? I can't see anybody coming along going, it sucked. Why? Well, I can't see it happening.
No, to be honest, you know, everybody that's seen the movie enjoyed it. Now, whether they're blowing smoke or not, I don't know, but, you know, everybody that's seen the movie said they enjoyed it. Like I said, it's been seen by a lot of people in the industry. Like you just read some of the people that watched it, and there's been other people that watched it in the TNA locker room that really liked it. There's people with WWE watched it that who I'm friendly with that watched it and and liked the film, and so far, knock on wood, and think, you know, I give it, you know, give Kimball the credit for putting together a great piece that we haven't had anything negative. Now, I'm sure with it being released, now you're gonna get some fans that, of course, are gonna, you know, it's his nature. Everybody's gonna complain, you could have did this, you could have did that, blah, blah, blah. You know, of course, we're expecting that, and, you know, it's gonna happen, but, for the most part, everybody's been, positive and on our side with it, so, I mean, yeah, that's what we're gonna ask for.
I think once the film is complete, it's been, like James said, completely positive. I think during the filming, I think there were a few
snicks.
I mean, it's something where if you've ever been to an indie show.
Oh, we've been to plenty.
You can't help but notice the film crews. There's usually at least one. Someone's always shooting something.
especially in Jersey. I mean, indie shows are indie shows, but in Jersey, they're a different beast. I can't explain it. You just have to come to a Jersey independent show. It's just a different beast. And like I said, like Tim said, there was a lot of cynics in the beginning when we started filming. They were just two other guys that, you know, if you know something about wrestling, I'm going to put together a piece that's going to fit and sell at a table at wrestling shows. You know, and we had a bigger idea of what we wanted to do. So in the end, it does, I mean, especially for me, it feels good for us. It's, you know, to show these people, well, see, it's not what we thought it was going to be. It's something that we thought it was going to be, and it came out good, and you know, it sort of made it to the mainstream. You know what I mean?
Is this going to be available in stores, or is it just through the Cards Subject to Change website?
Right now, here's the best answer for that. Right now, every online, on all the online retailers, Walmart.com, BestBuy.com, Borders.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Target.com, all the .coms have it. The in-stores, what we're being told is that a lot of the stores are not carrying it on the shelf, but, I mean, it's in their system. So if you approach someone at the store and say, this is something I'm interested in getting, these stores have the film. Whether that particular, whether the store in Sheboygan has it on the shelf isn't really up to us. But it is available at all major retailers through their online outlets. It's also on iTunes. It's going to be up on Hulu and probably Netflix within the next couple weeks.
Yeah, and also, just information I just got a little while ago that it's temporarily out of stock on Walmart.com and FYE.com.
It's got to be a good sign, right?
So it's a good sign. I mean, they're saying it's out of stock. So it's, yeah. So, you know, we're real excited. You know, the public's been hearing about this documentary for years. Everybody's saying, is this thing ever going to come out? So it's finally out, and if, you know, people step up to the plate and, you know, doing, you know, ordering our film, and we're very happy for that. Yeah. It's an honor for everybody who watches it and purchases it. It's just mind-blowing.
Well, I guess the obvious question for Tim is, after this, do you have another project in mind? So I know you're involved. You have your own film company as it is that you've been a part of. You've had Iron River going for a while. Do you have any other projects that you particularly have cooking, or are you just sitting there going, that camera needs to sit there because my hands cramp up the moment I see it?
It's a definite, that feeling is definitely there with the, I never want to see the camera again, but no, I'm actually working on three or four other things right now. Nothing to announce because nothing that's that far along. I can say that the projects I'm working on right now are not wrestling related. Yeah, I'm definitely keeping myself busy. Gotta work. This is all I do is I'm a filmmaker, so gotta eat.
We want to thank Cinema Libre Studio for providing these gentlemen here with us. The website, as noted, is cardsubjecttochange.com. You can find them on Facebook as well. They have a wonderful Facebook page. And definitely get a copy of it. Coming up after the break, we will be joined by one of the stars of this film. The one and only Kevin Sullivan will be with us on Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So I learn from my mistakes. It's beyond my control. Sometimes it's best to let go. Whatever happens in its lifetime. So I trust in love. So I trust in love. You have given me peace of mind. I feel so alive. For the very first time. I can't deny you. I feel so alive. I feel so alive.
The following is the resume of Tim Stein, the inventor of the light bulb, the creator of the internet, a professional grass waterer, and of course, the real voice of wrestling radio. While only some of these things are true, what really is true is that Wild Talk Radio Network is part of the social media revolution.
Holy crap, dude!
and you can be too. How do you ask? It's simple. All you have to do is like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Aw, you guys doing that stupid Facebook stuff again?
And by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/Wild Talk Radio.
Kick ass, dude!
This is the way you can stay up to date on all things Wild Talk Radio. Do it today, or Tim Stein will chase you off your lawn.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the indie scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Eric Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Nick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling columns today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today,
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Gary. Candice Michelle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
TJ Wilson, Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site for pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
This is Bob the Foul Mage telling you to tune in to Otaku Talk Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. How am I doing this? Don't tell me I bent laws of space and time again. God damn casting magic missile.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the indie scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Eric Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Nick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling columns today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today,
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Brett Derry. Candice Michelle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time. Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
TJ Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Come on!
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio, or anything goes. Or whether
you... Hey, you, go, Wild Talk! Wild Talk! You want Wild Talk? This is George the Animal Steel. Hey, you go! Bye-bye.
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks to James Disparo, to Tim Disparo and James Tubasis, the producer and director of a wonderful film called Card Subject to Change. We are now joined by one of the subjects of the film. He has taken time out of a very busy day to join us here. If you grew up in the Florida territory, you probably ran for your life when him and the Abunadeen came with the Golden Spike. If you were a fan of WCW, you knew him from managing the Varsity Club and the Dungeon of Doom. Kevin Sullivan is here. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us.
Well, I was glad to be with you, Alan. Thank you very much.
When we spoke with Tim and James, they basically said as soon as you signed on to be a part of this film, the doors to talent opened. What made you say yes to doing a project like this, especially you're from an era where kayfabe was humongous?
Well, you know, you either evolve or die. That's what happened to the dinosaurs. You know, what are you going to tell people it's real now? You're not going to tell people it's real. Nothing on TV looks anything near real, does it? And the horrible thing is, and I don't mean to say this despairingly to any of the young guys because they're great athletes, but it seems to me they have to go back to get guys in their late 50s, mid 40s to make it look legitimate, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is not saying, that does not bode well for the climate of professional wrestling, I don't think. Does it you? I can say this. Name me, since John Cena, a star that's been made.
Since John Cena?
Name me a star that's always building up.
I can name you three.
Go ahead.
Who?
The Miz.
Oh.
The Miz. CM Punk.
Saul's building's out. Saul's building's out.
Oh yeah.
No. Saul's building's out at a. They're completely sold out.
You don't think CM Punk or the Miz will sell a building?
I'm not saying they wouldn't. They're great talent.
Mm-hmm.
They're great talent. This has nothing to do with talent. You're saying you don't think you sell a building out. I'm talking constantly sell a building out.
I think you're right. I can't. I'm really trying to think of some names, and I can't think of anybody, and that's surprise. I usually can come up with a few names, but Cena's the only one I can think of. I mean, especially because of people like The Rock and Austin, unfortunately due to injuries or film career changes, there hasn't been a big name.
What's happened is, to me, is all these guys that you mentioned. I'm big fans of them. CM Punk. He is fabulous, okay? But these guys have had injuries after injuries. They haven't had the chance to be in long-range programs. Okay. Shawn Michaels retired, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did he retire?
Yeah, he retired 2 years ago.
Yeah. I happened to see him the other night on the opening of the show. Is he retired or is he working?
He's retired. He just came on to do an appearance to promote an outdoor Life Channel show he's a part of.
Okay, so he's not going to work.
Nope. Well, at least that's what he's saying.
Okay, and it'd be nice if he doesn't. It'd be nice to keep their word, because he's a great, great talent. And this is not knocking anybody. You said, why did I get into it? It's because they have to have opportunity to learn. CM Punk is the guy has grasped it at a young age. But if you ask most guys that aren't CM Punk that didn't get a development contract, how many years you've been working, and they say 3 years, and you ask them, well, how many matches you had, and they say 50. Well, how do you learn 50 matches in 3 years? You know what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I mean, at certain points in the Florida territory, when you guys were running hot and heavy in the 70s and 80s, I think you maybe wrestled 50 times a month.
Yeah, And I'm not saying the guys then were better because they're not. The guys today are better athletes. They're just not given enough time to develop. And then when they're there, they're on the borderline. They have to step up and put asses in seats. You know what I mean? And,
absolutely.
They're at a point, it's like, okay, I'm a huge baseball fan. You know who Henry Ramirez is?
Oh, yeah. We're big baseball fans.
Okay. That trade the Red Sox made is going to come back and haunt them. It won them a world title, but with Henry Ramirez, they would have won 5. It's like when Bagwell traded from the Red Sox to the Astros. They would have won with him. There are sometimes there's right fits for right people. These guys need to be working as much as they can. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that they can't sell out. These guys can sell out. They're great. They're great performers. They're great on the mic. The guys that are given the time, the guys that are borderline that, you know, you might have missed. People don't understand this. I beat Goldberg the first night out. No one remembers that until I saw what I had, and I said, holy shit, I really fucked up. I got to hide this kid for 12 weeks and then bring him out and start him again. These guys, and this is where I'm getting at about why I decided to do this, because there isn't such a thing as kayfabe. It is entertainment. And these guys are entertainers / wrestlers / athletes. They have the hardest job in the world. They gotta have the people, it's like going to movies, that they know it's not real, but they have to have people to believe that what they're doing is real at the moment. And that is a hard thing to do. It's a very hard thing to do.
We got numerous email questions. One came from actually the co-author of the WWE Encyclopedia, who's a contributor to our program, named Brian Shields. He wanted to know if you can remember for us why the WCW War Games matches seemed to lose their luster as time went on in World Championship Wrestling, despite having great name talent in there, especially once the New World Order and everybody came in the 90s.
Well, I would think that once they came in, they were the featured match. And I'm not going to, do you think, if you remember what they were doing, weren't they killing everybody?
It seemed to be that way on Nitro.
Yeah. Weren't they slaughtering everybody? Why would you pay to see something on a pay-per-view when you could Monday night see them slaughter people again.
Well, that leads to a great, that leads to another question that I've always wanted to ask you. And when I interviewed you in 2003, when you were visiting here in Florida, I never got to ask. When they set up Goldberg winning the world title, 48,000 people in the Georgia Dome, we asked Scott Hudson about it and he said he'd never understood it. Would you have rather, if you had had creative control then, instead of Eric, would you have said to him, you put this on mainstream TV, you're nuts. This should have been a pay-per-view thing. Would you have done that? Would you have saved Goldberg Hogan for a multi-million dollar pay-per-view gate?
At the time, it was the right thing to do to put Hogan. He needed the belt. But when he lost, it was the worst loss of all times. We lost on a sellout of $1 million. And we didn't lose what brought him there. They tasered him. They did all kinds of shit. Handcuffed him. He didn't go for the fucking tackle and the spear and someone move out of the way and him hit the post and a heel drop an elbow on him, a 1-2-3. People could have bought that, you know. It was done so poorly, I believe. The finish was done so poorly. It took away from him. It's like Ali. People didn't pay to see Ali lose, but the night he lost, he became a bigger hero by losing than if he had won. But if Goldberg had picked up where he lost and kept on winning after he lost, he would have been a bigger hero because nobody wins every time. Nobody wins every time, you know?
Yeah, I think at one point it was almost 200-0, if I remember Tony Schiavone. Every time I turned on, it was like, wasn't he just 75-0? Now he's 200-0.
I think it was 168. 168 they came up with.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, it's like everything else from wrestling, it's kind of exaggerated. But he was a great piece of talent. People came there hours ahead of time. Goldberg. So, and the reason why I got into this is they did a fine piece of wrestling. James and Timmy, they did a fine piece of wrestling about independence, about how hard it is for these guys, about, you know, people just think wrestling is superstar glamour and guys flying here, flying there. They don't see the other side, which is a whole darker and different side.
One of the things I found surprising was, it says it in the film, because when I mentioned 2003, you and your wife were talking about Froggy's Fitness and the Keys. What made you decide to sell the gym and move elsewhere? I mean, I can't imagine living elsewhere than where I am in Florida right now.
Well, I still have a house in the Keys.
Oh, okay.
In the summer, how hot is it there now?
At least in the low 80s right now, maybe going in the 70s.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, down where I am, it's in the 90s. It gives me a chance to get away. So, yeah.
You know, looking back through your career, in one way, shape, or form, you have helped mold the careers of guys like Rick Rude, who was, you know, Jake the Snake Roberts, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Ron Bass, Black Bart, you know, all these guys were involved with you at some point. Does it kind of make you feel good to know that as a performer and a worker, you have done part of the age-old tradition of getting the next generation ready when you were, when it was your time?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what it is passing on knowledge, right? That is the definition of knowledge, is passing it on. So I think I did my part in passing it on.
Now you are probably regarded as one of the best heels to ever work, and you've you did one of the best angles for about 15 years, where you played the Prince of Darkness and you were, saying you were possessed by Satan. Were you just sitting in a bar one night drinking and said, "I've got it," or did somebody come to you with that?
No, it came on slow. It came on slow. You can't just start that and say, "Oh, this is what I'm gonna do." It started off where I was staying up later than I should be. I started getting paranoid, and it was one of those things. I went from people will believe anything if you start at A. They won't believe it if you start at W. You know what I mean? The people want to get into people's characters. They want to know all about people. And it's easy to get into knowing someone if they start at A and they say, "Oh, I know, yeah, I got that kind of problem, or my nephew's got the problem, or something, there's something wrong with this guy," you know? So that was an easy way for me to do it.
Would that have worked anywhere other than in Championship Wrestling from Florida when Eddie Graham basically just said, go ahead and do this? Because
Eddie never said go ahead and do it. Eddie was
against really? Yeah. He was against the gimmick, really? Wow.
Yeah, Eddie was against it. He was not against it selling out, drawing money, but he was against that it was doing what I was doing. He was not crazy about it. He wishes it could have been wrestling, but it wasn't. You know. So
when you look back on Championship Wrestling from Florida, because now, unfortunately, from covering Florida since 2002, I've seen promotions come go, fight so much about it. You guys were pretty much, from talking to the Abunadine and other stars of the 70s and 80s, you guys were running this state 7 days a week. Do you look back now at what Florida has become and go, "Damn, look what these promoters did to my state"?
Well, they took it and made it an event rather than a wrestling contest. You know, they made it, going to the wrestling matches, it became an event. You know, and they've cut it back, and you know, if you're good, little Donnie, you're going to go to the wrestling matches. That's what they've done to it. So that's where we're at with it.
You know, earlier you said you were a big fan of CM Punk. And your ability on the microphone and his ability on the microphone are very similar. He said it last night, you know, "In any other guy's hand, this is a microphone, but in my hand, this is a pipe bomb waiting to go off."
Yeah, he's very good.
When you're watching the younger crop like CM Punk, and you can see so many similarities. God, I had a direction I was going with this. I apologize so much. My brain farted. But
mine does it all the time.
But you see the similarities between you and Punk. Yeah. Is there anything else there that you see?
It isn't just me and Punk. I think he gets some of the stuff from Raven without him subconsciously knowing it. You know, I think everybody gets things subconsciously and from the people, you know, and they may not know it, but they do, you know. And every heel gets something from a heel that they're similar to. And I would imagine that, you know, he gets more of the stuff from Raven than me. Because I think Raven's a terrific performer.
Well, at one point they were together in TNA Wrestling during the Nashville era. They were a part of the Gathering, and they were feuding in Ring of Honor at the same time. So I can see that. When you look at the way that professional wrestling, I can't even call it that because the folks in Connecticut may sue me. What do you think of the current way that WWE is going with their so PG rated, but TNA wrestling or Impact Wrestling, as they're calling themselves now, has gone the opposite direction where you have someone like Abyss bleeding on Spike TV? Do you think that's good for fans and good for the business that there is a contrast between the two major promotions?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
If Dixie Carter called you tomorrow and said, good news, I fired Vince Russo, I want you to take over the creative direction, would you say yes or would you tell her no?
No. I said no. Yeah. I said no.
Okay, if Vince calls you and says, I'm getting rid of Stephanie and Paul, would you take that?
That's impossible. That would be impossible. So, you know, that wouldn't happen. I'm happy what I'm doing. I'm happy what I'm doing now in my life, you know.
Right.
Okay. As a baseball fan, we got to ask this one. If the Boston Red Sox called tomorrow and said, we're firing Terry Francona, we want you to manage. Would you rather play?
No, I want to play left field, bro. I want to get going on every left fielder goes to the Hall of Fame. I want to go to the Hall of Fame.
You know,
From what you see, Skemski to Rice.
Yeah.
So everyone goes to Hall of Fame, so that's a guarantee to go to Hall of Fame. Now they get Crawford, so he'll end up in the Hall of Fame. So I want to play left field and go to Hall of Fame.
I have to ask this. I know you're a diehard Red Sox fan, but even as a diehard Red Sox fan, did you give a little golf clap to Jeter on Saturday when he hit 3,000?
Yeah, he's the only Yankee I like. He's good class. And what's amazing to me is with all of the great Yankees, I used to like Yogi Berra, and all the great Yankees they've had, it's amazing that they've never had one that's had 3,000 hits until him.
As a born-raised Yankee fan, I was stunned by it, too. I even asked my dad and my grandfather. I was going, you're kidding me. Nobody got that close.
Nobody got that close. It's pretty amazing. I mean, the closest, Lou Gehrig, and he was a little less than 300 hits away. So it's pretty amazing.
Were you a little bit worried at the beginning of the year when Boston started 0-6, or did you figure they'd right the ship eventually?
No, I was worried. I was going to shoot everybody. I was line them up and shoot them all. Shoot them all. Fucking send them all. Shoot them all and bring up the second team.
Bring up the entire Pawtucket Red Sox. You're all taken over.
You know, in 0-4... In 04, when you guys had that amazing comeback against the Yankees, I watched every game of that series, and I rooted for you. But in 07, when you were down 3-1 to my Cleveland Indians and came back, I never forgave you.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's a funny thing. Nothing ever meant as much as the 04 either. You know, I don't think anything will. You know, you wait that long a time. I'm hoping Chicago gets it next, the Cubs, you know.
They're so due. We're so due.
I would like to see them win, yeah.
We're going to... once again, the DVD is called Cards Subject to Change. You can get it through the website of the same name. Thank you so much for taking time. Wish you nothing but the best. Thank you, Kevin Sullivan.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you,
Coming
sir.
Up after the break, we will get into everything that came out of Monday Night Raw and Destination X pay-per-view, Online World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be back after the break, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network and UltimateSportsTalk.com.
Wow.
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio, or anything goes. Or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live. All you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Sophia Restaurant, may I help you?
Yes, I'd like to place an order, please.
What would you like?
Vegetable fried rice.
Huh?
Vegetable fried rice.
Only vegetable.
Vegetable
Hello?
Fried rice. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, vegetable
no
fried
meat.
Rice.
And do you, egg is okay? No egg.
Egg okay. Egg okay.
Okay.
No bok choy?
Oh, we don't have bok choy.
No bok choy? Okay.
Yeah.
Snow peas? You have snow peas?
Yeah, we have snow peas.
Extra snow peas.
What do you mean? You mean the fried rice?
Yes, fried rice.
Oh, fried rice, we don't have snow peas.
No snow pea?
Yeah.
The chicken? You put chicken in there?
Yeah, we have chicken fried rice.
But
you want
chicken
fried rice?
No, I want the vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Oh, that means the chicken fried rice, yeah?
No, vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Hello, we have seafood fried rice, beef fried rice, chicken fried rice. Or if you don't want meat, we can make a vegetable fried rice for you. So you want chicken or no chicken?
No, I want the vegetables and the chicken. Can you do both?
We have like a fried rice, we have green peas inside. Not too much vegetables.
Never mind. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show. So tune in. Listen. I demand it.
All right, wrestling fans. This is Rick the Model Martel. Yes, of course. The one and only the model. You are listening right now to Wild Talk Radio Network. Yes, a network with some class, of course. And remember, fans, arrogance. It's not just a fragrance, it's a way of life.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor.
Welcome back to the second hour of online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network and our friends at UltimateSportsTalk.com and our new friends at WRWWrestling.net. I am your host, Alan Wojcik, joined every week by the Spug Guy. Mace is still on hiatus. I believe he's going to be back around the time we go live on WRW. Jamal is around somewhere. He and his lovely lady. If you're friends with Kevin and you've seen the photos of his lady friend, you're just sitting there going, "You are smooth, man, unbelievable."
To the Facebook I go.
Yes, you must go forth to Jamal's page and try to find his lady friend if he's around. He will get to it. One of our new friends, Jackie Feist, will be joining us in a moment here. But this is the fun part of being the host of this show is that, as Adam Sandler said in The Wedding Singer, yeah, there's my movie reference, Mace, I have a microphone and I'm not afraid to use it. I'm not afraid and ashamed to say that I am friends with the gentleman who holds the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. known as the Sheik. The Sheik, according to the NWA itself, was scheduled to defend his world title against three-time champion Adam Pearce. This was to take place on July 31st at the Ohio State Fair. This is also from the press release that was issued by director Robert Trowbridge, so give me a minute to filter through some of the gaga that's in here. It is not clear at this time as to the reasons behind the Sheik apparently pulling out of his scheduled title defense. The NWA is claiming it first received an inkling of an issue when it noted that the long-awaited showdown was no longer on the Sheik's calendar. The Sheik's camp confirmed that he would not be there, and faced with this refusal to defend the championship, the NWA board of directors held an emergency teleconference with them stripping the Sheik of the world title. This came from director Robert Trowbridge. She said, "This is not something the NWA does lightly. We prefer that the title be settled in the ring. The vacant championship will be filled by a brand new main event at this event on July 31st. It'll be a three-way match between the three-time world champion and former guest of ours, Scrap Iron Adam Pearce, the North American champion, recently won North American title because the Sheik was the North American champ, and then surrendered the belt when he got the big gold belt, Sean Tempers, and a gentleman who will join us on the show next week, NWA National Champion Chance Prophet." Now, in protest to this act, this happened today, the NWA World Junior Heavyweight Champion, who works for Pro Wrestling Fusion, the home company of the Sheik, Craig Classic, sent us a note through his Facebook page that he has surrendered the NWA World Junior Heavyweight Championship. And this comes as a surprise to a lot of folks because Craig had been on an amazing run defending the championship. And it's amazing because at one point, all three major championships, the World Heavyweight title, the World Tag Team Championships, which are held by the Dark City Fight Club, and Craig Classic's belt, all based out of Florida, which is amazing. So Craig basically posted that this is on his page, said, "I relinquish my NWA World's Junior Heavyweight title in protest to the horrible decision to strip our world champion, the Sheik, of this title. The Sheik was on a tremendous roll bringing the championship overseas, which he did. He went to Japan and won the 0-1 heavyweight title, and also around the U.S. Craig goes on to say, "I love and respect this business, and for this to happen to anyone in our industry is," well, he says it, so I'm going to say it anyway, "horse shit, and I will not agree with this decision." He had 61 others on his Facebook page like this, and this thing goes on and on and on and on. So the legacy of the NWA World Championship, I think, Spug, is if it wasn't tarnished over the years, this has got to be one of the worst things I've ever heard happen.
First of all,
it just bothers me.
First of all I got to say is, damn, she is fine.
Told you.
And two, the NWA board has been sullied for a good long time. And in this particular situation, they just need to fold. They really do. The NWA doesn't have any of the power that it once has. Hell, it doesn't even own its own video library anymore.
Scary, isn't it?
Uh-huh. It's time to go. It is. It just is. And I'm sorry you were sitting there talking about the Sheik, and I didn't hear if you did or you didn't give a reason as to why they stripped him.
Apparently it's because he was not going to make the title defense on that day. Now, there's been rumors going around that the board of directors, to break kayfabe here, which I hate doing, but as Kevin Sullivan once told me, he says, "You know, we're all marks, kid, including me. If I wasn't a mark, I wouldn't be doing this." There's rumors going around that they wanted Adam Pearce to get the belt back. Now, there's also stories going around that Adam is hurt, and this endeavor is his last hurrah, so to speak. So to put a belt back on someone who may not even want to be involved, I don't get. I've heard stories that the Sheik himself, not going to use his real name, that I'm going to protect, was owed several thousands of dollars by NWA Championship Wrestling of Hollywood, David Marquez's television program, and that he was basically awarded the championship when Colt Cabana did the deed, which made me happy because anybody beating Colt Cabana is a great thing for us.
Yep.
So a lot of backstaging politicking is gone on here, and we're trying to get answers to it. Craig Classic was nice enough to reply to my email when I said to him, are you really sure you want to do this? And he said, damn right, I have principles. And the funny part is, all three championship holders were in Panama City this past weekend. And if you go to Craig's Facebook page and the Sheik's, there's a great photo of the four of them with the championship belts. And it just made me proud because I'm going, look at these three people, these three individuals. For if you count John Davis and Corey Chavis, I'm just going, the NWA in its heyday wishes it had four guys that are so dedicated to the business. I've seen Craig wrestle in 35 degrees outside in a baseball diamond in Tampa, Florida. He wrestled Christopher Gray. I was sitting there freezing my nads off, and Craig went out there with Chris and wrestled for 15 minutes. And I just sat there going, this kid's amazing. And to see him take that championship that he so wanted and said, you know what, F you, NWA, you're treating my cohort like this, I stand up and applaud him. And the NWA can kiss my ass if that's the way they feel about it. And I'm sorry, Bob Trovich, you're wrong in doing this. I'm putting my personal feelings aside, but as a commentator, you're wrong. Let the Sheik keep the championship. Let him defend it against Adam Pearce and decide it in the ring, as you said. Why do this in a boardroom, Spuck? I don't know. I never understood why politicking. I don't know. Jackie can chime in, too, because Jackie's based out of Texas, and she's seen a lot of craziness. And does this bother you as a fan that a championship is being basically taken off someone who's gone all over the world?
Yeah, that's pretty lame, especially when you hear that he's gone to Japan and done all this stuff. He's obviously representing for them there, and just the tiniest little something, and especially something political. And they strip a guy of something he's worked so hard for. That's terribly and awfully unfair.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We interrupted you, Spud. Go ahead.
I was just about to say, in the time that Jackie was sitting there waiting to talk, Texas just executed five more people.
Oh, God. Are we on the list to get the execution right? I've heard it's fun.
Because Texas has got to be good at something, and executing people's one of them.
Yeah, Texas does execute a lot of people. I live here now, but I moved here to go to college. I'm not of Texas, and I disagree with that. I can tell you do too. It's good to meet someone who shares my opinion on that.
Is it true that when you cross the Texas border, there's a guy sitting on the electric chair with a welcome to Texas sign that says "Don't fuck up"?
And there's a big light bulb on top, so when they throw the switch, it kind of lights your path down I-10. Yeah.
Yes!
There's a sign that says, George Walker did this. Ding! George Bush, now serving inmate number 457-GR2. Isn't he the one that brought all the fun back to that state?
Oh, I'm so out of here, first chance I get.
Come to Ohio!
Wait. Actually, you know what? I was born and raised in Ohio. I was born in Columbus, and I was raised until I was 14 in Marysville. And then when my parents divorced, that's when I ended up in Texas.
Come back to Ohio. See, that's why you're from Texas and sound intelligent.
Okay, we're going to transition from one shocking situation to another, and that is a... amazing Monday Night Raw.
Oh,
that...
I thought you were going to talk about the other thing that happened on Monday that I'm really... I just want to rip somebody a new ass all over.
Well, go ahead. Rip. Go ahead and speak about what you want to speak about.
Can I give it away?
Oh, you mean the title change? When we get to TNA, we'll get
that's
there.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, we'll put that on the shelf for a minute when we get to the TNA topic where everybody goes, you're talking about that promotion again? Yeah, I'm talking about them. We'll get there. Let's get through the fun that we had watching Monday Night Raw. SmackDown itself this past week was really good. Set up some stuff to go into Money in the Bank, and we'll address that. But once again, you know, before we get to Raw, this I gotta bring up. CM Punk has apparently been getting some great parting gifts, such as a send-off following the end of a live event in Auckland, New Zealand. Go to YouTube and find this.
Dude, that was great. I watched that.
Oh, I missed it.
He was joined by R-Truth and all the heels on the tour on beating down John Cena. The face is even the odds, and when the chaos cleared, Punk was the only one left in the middle of the ring. Seeing that there was no escape, Punk tried to shake the hand of Vladimir Kozlov, but he got a headbutt for his trouble. This was followed by greatest hits from, and I can't believe this, Beth Phoenix, Kelly, Santino Marella,
oh my God,
Zack Ryder, Kofi Kingston, Rey Mysterio, John Cena, and a 450 splash from Evan Bourne. Riley was in there, but as soon as he was going to hit a DDT, Punk performed the Great Muta Green Mist to the face,
which was great. By the way, the Santino Marella Cobra on Punk sold that so beautifully.
Yeah, and instead of going to YouTube, don't go to YouTube. Actually, go to one of our Facebook pages, which is facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. The God of Internet, Sir Rockin, has put it up there. Since, you know, we don't like him here on the show, but we're going to mention little Scotty. Seeing his name value rise after CM Punk name dropped him, the Monday night previous to this one.
2 weeks ago.
Cabana announced on his, recent podcast where he sells buttons and t-shirts and Dalai Lama items, that he apparently is going to be in Chicago this Sunday for the Money in the Bank event. Now, it's not known, of course, whether he's going to be there, if he's just going to carry Punk's bags, if he's going to go to a Cubs game, but I mean, I don't know.
Foley's going to be there too, he says. Or he's going to try to go.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Foley's going to be there. He was saying on Twitter that he wants to go and be part of that atmosphere as a fan. So I'm...
That makes worth buying it right there, just hoping they'll catch a glimpse of Mick Foley in the audience. I love Mick Foley.
Did you say Vic Foley?
Said Mick Foley.
You said Mick.
Oh, I thought you said Vic. I was like, what? You might not be as intelligent as I thought.
Hold on now. Don't rip her apart yet.
Oh, no. I like her already.
Yeah. Unfortunately, her least favorite performer was a part of Monday Night Raw. CM Punk opened with a tribute to Jimmy Hart, as I called it, with
a megaphone.
Tell me the bullhorn was not a fantastic touch.
That's one of those actor's studio things that you say, hey, would you like a prop? Yes. Well, act through this prop. And he said, I want Jimmy. Give me your megaphone. He decided that he was going to hold the show hostage and said that he wanted Vince McMahon, the genetic jackhammer, to come to the ring and negotiate. Well, instead, we had John Cena come to the ring. Arguing ensues, blah, blah, blah. Of course, the anonymous Apple, iPod, laptop, whatever the heck it is. The Raw GM chimed in and said, fine, you want action? You're going to get action. You're going to take on the World Tag Team Champions, David Otunga and Michael McGillicuddy, who magically were defeated by one John Cena. Now, these things happen. Tag Team Champions can't beat the World Champion, can they? I don't know.
Them being the Tag Team Champions doesn't mean a whole lot. I mean, it's semi-believable.
Yeah. We also had Dolph Ziggler, Vicky Guerrero, and Drew McIntyre mocked McMahon, who of course came along and said, great, you know, chosen one, you're gonna face the Big Show later on tonight. Okay. Don't understand the abuse there, but I'll roll with it.
Speaking of one Mr. Drew McIntyre, he really, really needs to find Mark Henry and kick him square in the nads. Because if you watch that last night, Henry comes for you just, you know, barreling in, and he plows into the Big Show, and poor little Drew McIntyre goes flying off in the other direction.
Yeah, that's
Big Show,
scary.
Well, Big Show and Henry land on the crash pad, and about 2-3 minutes goes by, and I can remember Rock and I sitting in the chat room, and we both go, "Where'd McIntyre go?"
He probably landed on his feet and ran.
They're scraping him off the ground on the other side of the stadium.
And they showed the replay. I'm like, he missed. And Rock goes, "What?" I'm like, "Watch it. He missed. Missed it entirely." So if I'm Drew McIntyre, I am finding Mark Henry, and I am kicking him square in the nads today.
I'm sure they all got the SmackDown, or he may have came backstage with a bucket of fried chicken and just said, "Boom, here's your KFC, punk, and have a Subway sandwich while you're at it."
How is that funny?
I don't know.
How is that retribution for making him get launched like a stupid ragdoll on that iPhone app?
But we don't know if he could have landed on his feet and just said,
"Dude,
that was fun, you made me miss."
You don't fly across the screen like the Wile E. Coyote getting hit by the Roadrunner and land on your feet.
Oh,
Sir Argonne is saying, "No, he didn't land on his feet. He did hit the ground, though he's okay. He's day-to-day, but then again, aren't we all?" Jackie's least favorite wrestler, your current Divas champion, defeated many who feel she's still being punished for opening her big mouth around WrestleMania, and that would be Melina. The Bella Twins did some commentary, of course, and critiqued Kelly's makeup choices. We can't make fun of Kong's weight anymore, so now we're going to make fun of Kelly in makeup.
Wait. Why don't you like Kelly?
Go ahead, Jackie. Let him have
it. Okay. It's not – I don't have an issue – well, yes, I do. My issue is not with Kelly per se. I'm just kind of annoyed by the entire situation with the Divas division. And Kelly, for me personally, is just the walking embodiment of the problem. Kelly is the standard, at least in my opinion, with laryngitis and control of what you have to look like to be a female competitor in the WWE nowadays.
Okay, so Sable, Michelle McCool, Layla, Eve Torres, Melina, those aren't the problem? The problem? No. You're taking it out on somebody, and this is where I'm – this is – was Kelly a bad wrestler at one point and horrible to watch in the ring when she was doing the whole exhibitionist thing? Yes. Yes, she was.
She's still horrible. She had a match on Raw or SmackDown. She's had a match a few weeks ago. She did like 6 moves in the entire match, and I swear to God, on everything that I hold sacred in this world, I called every move she did right before she did it, except for one. I called that she was going to smack her opponent on the ass, and she did the sting face. But it's still her using sex to sell herself, because she's horrible. But my issue is I watch a Hulk Hogan match,
and I can call every effing move he does from start to finish, and he maybe does 7. I can watch every Triple H match and call every move he does. I can watch any Bret Hart match and call every move he does. Wrestlers have 7 to 8 spots that they do continuously in every match. To blame her specifically...
I don't blame her specifically. I think they're all the problem. What I've been trying to get at is I'm not annoyed by the presence of beautiful women in the WWE. It's an entertainment company, and I understand why they're always going to be there. My problem is that it's a requirement.
Like Bull Nakano, man.
Karma is certainly the exception. I mean, I'm not saying she's not attractive, but she's not going to be doing any bikini spreads in Maxim magazine or whichever it was that noted her as, you know, Kelly. Yeah, I don't have a problem with them. I understand that they make money, and I understand that they sell calendars when the WWE was in a financial downturn. I just don't like that it's a requirement. I want to be able to see all women who look every other way possible, who have all different kinds of fighting styles, be there. That's my issue. And she just personally annoys me. I don't know why, but I don't personally take it out on her. I don't like a whole lot of them right now.
See, I think it's entirely unfair to say that she's the embodiment of what's wrong.
Well, I'm not saying that it's a fact. I'm saying simply my opinion.
I know, and I'm debating your opinion.
Okay.
Let him get his piece out. He's got a direction, and I'm glad he's here to give it.
I think it's unfair to say that she is the embodiment of what is wrong in women's professional wrestling, especially in the WWE. When you go back even 8 years ago, in which every WWE women's match featured either gravy, jello, lingerie, pillow fights, or some sort of striptease in the middle of the ring, to now today, where we actually have a form of women's wrestling. Now, granted, most of them may not be very good, but there is a form of women's wrestling, and Kelly Kelly has gotten better than she used to be.
Oh yeah, and that's the funny thing you brought up. Let me just jump in for a second. You brought up that whole era of the gravy and the this and the that, and it's amazing to look at the talent roster that was there at that time. You had Trish Stratus, who came like a Kelly Kelly, came from modeling fashion, and she turned into one of the best performers that WWE had. You had Ivory, you had Jacqueline, you had Omega's favorite friend Lita, you had Molly Holly there. You actually had some wrestlers there. Now you've got as bad a reputation as she has backstage. Melina Perez can get in the ring and go. You've got Gail Kim on this roster if you can find her. We issued wanted posters out earlier for Desmond Wolfe. We may start sending out some for Gail Kim at this point. It's just the creative direction that you have to go in. And I bring this up to my friends all the time, where they go, well, I don't like the way things are going with such and such. I'm like, fine, here's who you talk to. The head of everything, which would be a woman in Stephanie McMahon Levesque. So is Steph just saying to Ed Koski and Guy Wertz and Michael Hayes, I really don't care about the diva thing, have whatever fun you want here?
Could very well be. I have a hard time believing that, like, with the likes of Gail Kim and Beth Phoenix and even Melina on the roster, I'm kind of looking at Kelly Kelly as the Divas champion, and I'm like, really? Really? Yep. I mean, I hate to sound like The Miz, but it's just...
You just did. Oh, yeah. He had his fun last night as well. He was involved in a six-man match that saw Evan Bourne, A-Rai... I hate that damn nickname, but it works. Kofi Kingston defeat Jack Swagger, The Miz, and R-Truth. And Spug brought this up when we were talking, all three of us, including Sir Rock, and we're watching the show. And expand on your feelings on Del Rio and the ladder. You had said to me, this is too excessive. Explain why. Why was everything that Del Rio did excessive? Was it the way he was hitting people? Was he out of control? Explain, please.
When you're in the ring with a ladder, when you're swinging it and using it as a weapon, you want to start out and you want to get a good head of steam on it and then pull it. And the person you're swinging it at is going to propel themselves into the ladder. It's a give and a take. When watching him swing that ladder around, he didn't pull at all. He was really laying into guys. And he went a little overboard with how many times and how many people he hit. And when he threw that out to The Miz, the only one I'm really going to give him a pass on is when he threw it out at The Miz. He let go of it a little too late or a little too soon, so it didn't get the arc on it that you needed. Because it looked like you were supposed to hit Miz right up in the upper chest and the face, and the way Miz could bat it down and sell it, but it didn't, and it kind of hit right around his hips, and it looked like Miz maybe might have dinged his hand a little bit.
This match on Sunday, we'll get into the pay-per-view in a moment or two, is going to be a lot of fun with some of these cats here. It's amazing that this Monday Night Raw, that was the last match on the show. Well, there was, of course, Big Show versus Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre that ended at a double countout. And, of course, we had the new board game, Where's Drew McIntyre? I'm sure his ex-wife would love to find him to figure out the alimony payments. CM Punk Vince McMahon negotiation session. If you can find it on YouTube, I'm sure it's up on WWE.com by now. Rock may already have it on the Wild Talk Radio site. But to boil it down to its bullet points here, in his contract, and I love the pop that some of this stuff got from the fans. Some of his new perks he wanted was including Vince bringing back the ice cream bars, which got a mega pop out of the crowd.
And an ice cream bar chant.
Yeah, and I think ice cream bar trended on Twitter.
Yeah, WWE ice cream bar trended on Twitter. Yes, it did.
Until early this morning, it was trending, and Vince Dial sent something out on Twitter about who fans needed to contact in order to bring it back, to contact Good Humor, the ice cream people.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, my friend of mine, Michael, a couple years ago when we were at a SmackDown taping, he got backstage stuff due to some contacts, and my friend Rich Trionfo and I, who cover stuff for Pro Wrestling Insider, joked with Mike, because he had catering, and I was like, Rich said, we got to ask the burning question. He goes, what? I said, the ice cream bars backstage. She says, no. I said, you suck. It's like, where's the bars, damn it? Punk also apparently wants CM Punk the movie. Also wants the main event WrestleMania 28. I think he wanted them to, the U.S. to withdraw from Afghanistan or something. And it was just amazing the stuff that went on here. Click on that if you want. He actually at one point called Vince McMahon a bully, made reference to Scotty Goldman, also known as Colt Cabana, and Luke Gallows being future endeavored. He insisted that Vince McMahon apologize to Punk and the fans, and he did. Now, of course, Vince was all ready to sign, but here comes Buzzkill himself, John Cena. And things, needless to say, got very tense. Very tense. To the point that Punk actually in Boston, and I'm amazed this wasn't a riot scene, called John Cena, referenced him being like my New York Yankees, which got a shot to the jaw from Cena on the Punk.
Right.
Poor choice of words.
Yeah.
And it's not because he said the Yankees. It's not why it's a poor choice of words. I was sitting there last night listening to the promo with you and Rock, and I'm going, I'm trying to figure out where he's going with it. And he said, you are the New York Yankees. And I went, The better word he could have used there was establishment. You are no longer the underdog. You are the establishment. And it would have made more sense, way more sense than saying the New York Yankees.
I think maybe he's just caught up in the heat of the moment, Jackie. It's the only thing I can think of when he referenced the Yankees.
Right, and to be honest with you, I'm not a baseball fan, so that went over my head for a minute. I actually had to jump on the internet to find out what that meant. But yeah, that was kind of a shock, and I found it really. I don't watch baseball. What can I say? I'm in Texas. Everything here sucks, including baseball. So, but I just found it funny that of everything CM Punk has done and said over the last few weeks, it was that finally got him sucker punched.
Yep, that's the amazing part.
You know, I think it was. I said this to Rock last night when Cena came out. Cena had no business being out there.
Agreed.
He didn't. And I get that you're trying to sell the pay-per-view, that you're trying to hype it up a little bit more. But he had no business being out there in that segment. And
yeah, it felt awkward.
It really did feel awkward. Especially when Cena's going easy now. Watch it. And it's not, and Punk didn't say anything that was out of line. You know, the things that Punk said to Cena before the Australian tour and during the Australian tour, that should have got him sucker punched. Not calling him the New York Yankees. Just saying.
Now you wanted time to debate me on this whole situation, so go ahead and you were very upset with the way I viewed things last night.
Oh, because
okay,
I'm gonna pull out I'm gonna pull out a quote.
Go ahead, pull it. Careful. Go ahead. Do you want to give him the ding-a-ding thing so he feels important?
No, I have to find... Ah, here it is. I'm pulling up my quote from yesterday. Alan, stop thinking like a mark and a journalist for a moment. Take what you know about the business and apply it to this rationally. Vince is finally doing what we bitch about every fucking week, and that's listening to the fans. In the past month, we've gotten phenomenal wrestling and promo work. Hell, Zack Ryder even has a legitimate title now. You can't sit here and say, oh, they're just redoing a 97 storyline. What has happened in the past month or so has been a fundamental shift in the WWE's business practices and politics.
Well, this is something that I thought about today on my lunch at work, and it's so awesome to say that work. Is this Vince, and I'm bringing this up because for fans that are new to our show that may have come on because Kevin Sullivan was here, Spug and our colleague Mace covered UFC and MMA with an event called From Tapouts to Knockouts, which is on the same radio network. Is this possibly Vince and creative going, you know, we're missing that realism that UFC has right now? And that's what they're going for, is they're trying to go to that edginess that you see in the press conferences and you see on Ultimate Fighter and you see in other stuff. And I only reference 97 because, you know, there was so much backstage gaga between Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart that only came out years later and apparently is going to come out on a DVD by the end of this year. That Vince and Steph and whoever's in creative, you know, that's not working on, that wasn't working on My Wife and Kids recently, or a sitcom, are they sitting there going, oh, Meltzer's been coming out with this stuff for years, and Keller's been airing our dirty laundry, why don't we do it in the ring and see what happens? Unfortunately, it didn't even garner a 3.0 in the ratings, so I mean, that's just why I referenced what I referenced.
Here's the thing, it's not... This is beyond personal, between the two parties, Vince and Punk. It really is. And to say that, oh, it's a rehash of 97, it's not. It really isn't. Because you have to look at what has happened. 97 between Bret and Shawn did not change the company fundamentally. It didn't. Bret Hart got screwed over, and I still think it's a work, and Shawn went on to be champion, but it didn't change the company fundamentally. It didn't. What has happened with CM Punk's disgruntled attitude towards the WWE and what has gone on, with him being more vocal on Twitter and on Facebook, and with his work on the mic at house shows, you have seen a fundamental shift in everything that the WWE does, including five or six uses of the dreaded W word last night alone.
Yeah, we're the only ones that use it still.
No, WWE used it multiple times last night.
But makes you think, is there a fine jar backstage where they're going, this is going to go to the company picnic. If you say wrestling, put it in there.
I don't think so. It's.
But it's just weird that they went this whole direction of going, we're entertainment. We're entertainment. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, you can say wrestling once. Go ahead. It's fine. Oh, we're entertainment. Oh, two? Okay, fine. But I mean, what's going on here? They went in one direction, Jackie, and now, like Spug's saying, now they're going in this totally other direction.
Right, and it was I mean, I thought it was pretty stupid when they started saying, oh, we're not going to say wrestling anymore anyway. I mean, you're not going to wipe out, you know, 50, 60 years of history, not to mention other companies that do the same thing as you do. Personally, I hope they're backtracking. I hope that's the sign that they're not doing that anymore, because I thought that was stupid.
Well, you got to remember, in the 80s, they called it sports entertainment. Vince has never lied to the fans about one thing, and that's the fact is that what they do in the ring is entertainment.
Yeah, he's always said that.
Not once has he tried to pass it off as something legitimate.
Hmm. Yeah.
And so I cannot fault him for trying to get rid of the W word at points, but he cannot mistake what he actually is. And it may be entertainment, but it's still professional wrestling. It always has been, and it always will be. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call them superstars. You can call them diva. It doesn't matter. But it's still professional wrestling. And I think the whole point of what the crux of the Punk angle and storyline has been is, don't try to pull the wool over the eyes of the fans, because they know. That "We Want Wrestling" chant last night, phenomenal.
And De La Gana sitting somewhere going, I'm trending, woo!
All these people are giving De La Gana credit for it on Twitter. That was hilarious.
The Boston people were doing it. Some stuff, as I mentioned, was set up on SmackDown that's going to take place this Sunday. By the way, TJ Wilson, what happened to your hair, dude? You had that little thing. Now you look like everybody else.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I changed one little thing on my Facebook, and people freak the hell out.
Oh, Lord.
5 phone calls in 15 minutes to my house.
Whoa. Dare I ask what you changed?
Oh, I changed my relationship status from married to single, because I was trying to make it go in a relationship and name the person and hit save changes. And dude, literally, both my sisters, and then I've heard the phone ring 3 other times after that. Both of my sisters.
Controversy follows you everywhere, dude. I don't know why.
I'm like, whatever.
All right. This Sunday, as mentioned, is Money in the Bank, taking place from Allstate Arena in Chicago. Here is the card as it stands. The Battle of the Very Big Men, The Big Show and Mark Henry. You've got Kelly defending the Divas Championship against Brianna Bella. You've got the 2 world title matches, which is John Cena defending against CM Punk. If Punk wins, he leaves with the belt and Cena is fired. World Heavyweight Champion Randy Orton will take on Captain Charisma, or as many are calling him now, Captain Whiny Pants.
He is Captain Whiny Pants.
Yeah, now I gotta remember the stipulation. I had it typed out here. If there's a DQ or a count out on Orton's side, Christian gets the belt.
Christian still wins the title, yeah.
If there's a DQ or bad officiating.
Oh,
right. Man.
Oh, God. Okay. The Money in the Bank match for the Friday Night SmackDown Kids involves Heath Slater, Justin Gabriel, Kane, Wade Barrett, Daniel Bryan, Sin Cara himself, Cody Rhodes in his paper bags, and Sheamus. The Raw match, as we saw last night, involves Evan Bourne, Kofi Kingston, Jack Swagger, Rey Mysterio, Alberto Del Rio, Alex Riley, The Miz, and R-Truth. Now, I know which match Jackie's going to use the restroom in. since you are new to the program, we picked Spug's brain last week. Give us a pick in the SmackDown Money in the Bank, the Raw Money in the Bank, and do either one cash in like we saw last year?
I would like for the SmackDown one, I would like for Kane to win. I'm a huge Kane mark, but I have a feeling it's just not going to happen. I don't know. I guess I haven't really given it a whole lot of thought. I guess I'll just pick someone because I don't really, I'm still with Rhodes. Again, I don't hear, I would love for Kane to win, but not going to happen. And I'm, I guess for the Raw one, I'm going with Del Rio.
Okay. Are you changing? No. Are you changing anything in your mind, or who do you want from Raw and who do you want from SmackDown, Spug?
Actually, I was talking to my buddy Joey, who lives in Boston.
Ah.
Boston.
And he was at Raw last night. I was talking to him this morning, and he brought something up that I went, why the hell didn't I think of this first? But I didn't, but I'm going to steal it and take credit for it.
Sure, we're all about that here.
Mm-hmm. So this was the idea that I came up with. R-Truth wins the Raw Money in the Bank.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Hold on. It gets better. CM Punk wins the WWE title. R-Truth cashes it in and loses to CM Punk.
Ow.
And that furthers the conspiracy storyline against R-Truth.
I could see that happening. I don't know why, but I can see it happening.
Tell me that wouldn't be awesome.
I think it would be. I like the whole little Jimmy paranoid angle they got going with R-Truth. I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's gotten them some play, and I'm happy with it. Oh, God, now I put myself on here. See, the SmackDown one's weird because you've got Slater, Gabriel, Barrett, Daniel Bryan, Sin Cara, Cody, who are all that mid-card level. Barrett's up, Barrett's down, and Sheamus has been up and down. And then you've got Kane there. Kane's just kind of like watching Finlay on this thing a couple of years ago. Ric Flair going like, what are you doing in here? This is the high-flying thing. You're the 18-foot-high guy. What are you doing? You could just put your arm up and grab the belt.
Right, and I got it last time when he needed to get the world title real quickly to feud with The Undertaker, but I'm not getting it this year.
Yeah, only because of the way they've been pushing Sin Cara, I could see him taking the Money in the Bank. And on Raw's a tough one. I'd love to see Del Rio do it, but I'm thinking Spug may have it. Now, of course, you know, there's people in Stanford listening to us going, crap, we gotta change it. They figured this stuff out. They do. There's people listening everywhere. There's people in Nashville that listen to us because apparently the folks in WWE land are watching TNA wrestling. And if you think I'm kidding, I'm not. Because Dolph Ziggler, Tyson Kidd, and Gail Kim actually took to Twitter to praise TNA, while Ziggler himself made a faint veiled shot at WWE. He first commented, cool Ultimate X qualifier match on Impact tonight. Jack Evans does some pretty sick stuff. # see wrestling can be fun. Kid merely commented that it was great to see Jack Evans, a longtime friend and a Matt Rat. Gail Kim tweeted to say a few people tweeting about Evans. Did I miss some good bleep? Ziggler responded, X qualifier was fun to watch. Seeing Lynn and RVD in the ring together, was cool too. So that's interesting to see the TNA kids being watched by the friends of Stanford. Speaking of Stanford and the way that they do stuff, it's weird to see, you know, they're all about, ooh, that's a lot of money you got there. Yeah. Before we get into the pay-per-view first. This past week's Impact, as they were talking about it, Tony Nese and Jesse Sorensen fell to the few men who can pull off the 6:30 like Jarrell Clark does here in Florida. Jack Evans did it. We were also treated to a four-way match of RVD, AJ Styles, Jerry Lynn, and Christopher Daniels, which that was cool. This was an all X division pay-per-view, kind of like how last year's Hardcore Justice was all ECW-like. So only one championship on the line, which we'll get to in a moment. Show opened by Frankie the Future Kazarian of Fortune defeating Samoa Joe. Doug Williams' open challenge. I was hoping for Petey Williams. I was hoping for Johnny Devine, Kid Cash, Sonny Siaki. I don't care. Instead, we got Mark Haskins. If you're wondering who he is, yes, his name is Mark Haskins. He's from England. He was a part of, I believe it was a Global Impact tour they did a few months ago in England. That's how he got here. We had an impromptu tag team match by Sharkboy and Eric Young, taking on the most recently in future endeavored Generation Me. Yeah, we got an email into the Buck bro, the Young Bucks, to come on and talk about why they left. The Ultimate X match made Alex Shelley the number one contender to the championship by defeating Robbie E, Shannon Moore, and Amazing Red. And Shannon Moore once again proved Dilligaff also stands for, are you freaking nuts? What were you doing up there on that thing? Dude, nuts. Seriously, stop putting all that stuff in your hair. It is hurting your brain. Don't climb the Ultimate X like you did. In the match that Tim Stein, Sorokin, I believe Spug was hyped for this one, even Omega, RVD, and Jerry Lynn did not disappoint, and RVD ended up taking the win from the whole effing show, defeated the evil effing show, as Jerry Lynn was called in MLW a few years ago. Austin Aries, once again, is a member of the TNA Impact Wrestling roster. He defeated Zema Ion, Low Ki, and Jack Evans.
For Christ's sakes, can we call him by his proper name?
Which one? Oh, Shima Zion. Yeah, I can't stand that name either, and I had fun making fun of it. Yes, in Jersey Girl, they did ask their release after the event. They figured, okay, cool. Do we get the Universal Park passes? Yes. Okay, cool. By the way, we quit. The Brian Kendrick is your new World X Division champion, thanks to Immortal, the entire X Division roster. I think SoCal Val ran in at one point. I don't know. I thought I saw some Louis Vuitton shoes thrown in there, and that's Val's shoe. So Brian Kendrick is your champion, and your show was closed by the phenomenal AJ Styles defeating the fallen angel Christopher Daniels. Was not disappointed in the show. Was very happy with it. I had talked to Rockin' about it. We had talked about it last week. I said to Spug, I said, this is either going to be a really great event, or this is going to be an immortal berry fest. And fortunately, with the exception of the World X Division title match, Immortal really wasn't seen at all here, and I was surprised. I don't know. Overall thoughts from what you've read about it, Spug?
I have purposely stayed away from anything about Destination X because I have it sitting on a TiVo that I need to watch.
Ah, okay. Well, we'll leave that there. If you're following the Bound for Glory series, as of this point, Crimson, not K-R-I-M-S-O-N, the Crimson, Tommy Mercer is in lead, 31 points. Gunner and Devon have 21. Bully Ray, Matt Morgan, AJ Styles have 14. James Storm, Scott Steiner, and RVD have 7. Bobby Roode, the Pope, D'Angelo, De Niro, and Samoa Joe have Ugats. If you're a fan of TNA wrestling and you live in Huntsville, Alabama, Knoxville, Tennessee, or Macon, Georgia, Impact Wrestling will be taped in your city soon. They are going to be at the Von Braun Center in Huntsville, Alabama. Yes, that's where episode 1 of TNA, NWA TNA was filmed. That'll be on August 25th. Looks like they're going to do that one live, I'm guessing. Wednesday, September 21st, they're going to be at the Knoxville Coliseum, Knoxville, Tennessee. Wednesday, October 26th, they're going to go to the Macon Coliseum in Macon, Georgia. So that'll definitely be interesting. If you listen to us on and off, you know Sorokin has a Ouija board crystal ball, fortune cookies and other things, and he is standing by his belief that your main event at one of the main events at Bound for Glory will be Sting, whether he's the world champion or not, taking on Hulk Hogan. Now, this came...
God damn it!
Hold on. What are you goddamning?
You had to mention him.
Which one?
You had to mention one Terry Bollea.
Well, let me explain why I'm bringing him up. Let me explain. During the GTTV E3 All Access stuff, Hulk Hogan dropped the ball big time and spoiled an upcoming TNA storyline where he is saying that the red and yellow will be returning. He announced on the screen graphic at his Impact Wrestling Star, he was there to promote his Xbox 360 Kinetic game, which we've talked about here. One of the hosts asked the question from a fan asking what they can look forward to at the Impact Zone. And brother, you're gonna love this one. He says, quote, "We have a plan. No, it doesn't involve Linda. I think we can look forward to Hulk Hogan in the near future, maybe begging for forgiveness for all my evil deeds." Hogan explained that right now he is the number one bad guy. Really? Okay.
Wait, what?
Hold on.
He is?
According to him, he is. According to him also, Andre the Giant weighed a ton when he slammed him. A legit one ton. He's feeling, quote, "something big right now that maybe Hulk Hogan is going to start asking the fans for forgiveness, and he might throw the red and yellow colors back on in the near future." Why?
Grr.
I make a cornet face in tribute to Mace, who may be listening to us while he's on lunch break from his tactical training. I believe he's learning to fly stealth bombers. He can't really tell us what's going on. But, I mean, when you read this, I mean, I mean, Jackie may not have feelings on this because she doesn't watch Impact Wrestling as much as I do, but I'm just sitting there going, yeah, okay, thanks for kill. It's like somebody walking up to me and going, yeah, that movie, this is how it ends. Boom. I don't need to go see it now. Crap.
I noticed that Jackie also hates TNA the way I do. which is a bonus, and I see that she was a UTEP minor.
Oh God, yeah, that's why I moved to El Paso. Very cheap to live here, very easy to go to college here, and the weather is good for going to college. One thing about Ohio, I remember the winters, and I remember going to school in the summer because of snow days. So yeah, I wasn't about to have that anymore. So,
boy, you've missed out on a lot, haven't you?
Anyway,
hold on.
Go for it.
All right. So we're sitting there after Raw last night, and Rock goes, "Did you see what happened in TNA?"
Oh yeah.
No. What happened? You may want to go look. So I go find it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, without a title defense. On pay-per-view, and his first title defense, mind you, first, he won this title, what, 2 months ago, and this is his first title defense?
I believe so.
He loses it to Sting. I don't care if I spoiled it, I know our policy on this show, but this is one of those faux pas. And I had to call a college professor to find out the word to use in this certain situation. Use the word faux pas. You know, that it makes me...
Yeah, he won it at Slammiversary, Rock, so that was June.
A month ago. I thought he won it in May.
He won it in June, and I believe he wrestled Gunner on TV in a non-title deal, and I honestly don't remember, unless Rock can pull up some recent Impact things. I don't remember Anderson actually saying, "Here, let's defend this."
Mm-hmm. And you're at the point. You're at the point where you have ruined everything you've done with Ken Anderson. Everything you've done with him, you have ruined.
Oh, but look at the way that Impact ended. He basically jumped up into Abyss's arm like he won. He's like, "I won the lotto! Come here!" out your last image of Anderson. I'm an immortal now. Yay!
And you have no title.
Yeah.
And you don't have the title. And at Bound for Glory in October, we're going to see Sting hobble out to the ring as the heel to watch Terry Bollea put on the red and yellow boa, pull up his girdle, have some 17-year-old girl that was probably just at high school come and help him lace up his boots so he can hobble his geriatric ass down to the ring, body slam Sting, and give him the leg drop in a 3-minute main event and win the title. For what? So you can put yourself over and further bury guys like Nigel McGuinness, Ken Anderson, Generation Me, the X Division? Are you that addicted to your own damn ego, Hogan, that you cannot put somebody else over who is a bigger star than you right now? I don't give a shit if the name Hulk Hogan is universal. I don't give a damn if the name Hulk Hogan is known by wrestling fans everywhere. Your time has come and gone, and it is set on your career. Go into the back and be a road agent like everybody else. Hell, go earn some more money so you can pay that 19-year-old kid to sleep in your bed and bang your wife. Because apparently you tried to get every other wrestler in the locker room to do it.
That's if you buy what Jim Hellwig was selling on YouTube. And I think at one point he was trying to get us to do it. And I'm like, no, Mr. Hellwig, go that way. Please, back off.
It is to watch these buffoons like Russo and Bischoff and Hogan take a company who had a distinct advantage over WWE in a couple of areas.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of them. Go ahead.
In the fact that they had the X Division. At one point, TNA did not try to fool the fans. They said, we are wrestling. We are a wrestling company. They didn't try to fool anybody. And when Russo came in, and then Bischoff and Hogan followed after, they've taken this company and destroyed it. You buried Samoa Joe. You've buried and released Nigel McGuinness. Orlando Jordan was released, and he wasn't that bad. You've buried Eric Young, and Generation Me saw the writing on the wall and left as the ship is sinking. It really frustrates the living hell out of me.
Oh, and you're not alone. There's plenty of us that are sitting there going, let me get this right. You just turned 50-some-odd-year-old Sting back into your world champion. To further along this, I'm descending into the ghost of Heath Ledger, which I'm still trying to understand, but I know it's TNA. I'm not supposed to read too much into this, or I will also be ending up slapping the makeup on myself here. It's just hard to separate some of the gaga that's been going on here. And, to get to their next pay-per-view. Yeah, we're going to mention it in a moment, Jersey Girl. Calm down. Yeah, their next event is Hardcore. No, she's not freaking about anything. The next event, is called Hardcore Justice, and that is August 7th. That's the next event. And you're actually going to see – oh, she's also claiming that Sting stole Chance Prophecy's gimmick. We'll talk about that with Chance next week. She wanted me to let everybody know that, talk about people going back to the WWE after taking the flamethrower to the bridge like Marty Jannetty. Kid Cash apparently posted on his Twitter, hey guys, it's official. I have just signed back with TNA. And my first response to her was, that's a shock. Which is a shock to me, especially after the way Kid Cash left the last time.
You re-sign Kid Cash, but you can't keep Nigel McGuinness, and you can't sign Shima Zion, you know, or Jack Evans. And or I'm any not of those
gonna,
guys.
Yeah, I'm not going to spoil you watching the event, but when you get to that match, the audience is chanting, sign them all. And I even joked with Shima Zion. I put on his Facebook page, and he commented on it. I said, steal the show so they have no choice but to sign your ass. And I think that's what they were all trying to do. I wish this company nothing but the best. Kevin Sullivan's already said when he talked to him, he said, if Dixie called, I'm going to say no. Dixie calls us, sure, I'll take over.
Dixie calls us tomorrow. You know, if Dixie calls us, this is what I say. Guess what? I want full creative control over everybody because I want to fire Bischoff, Hogan, and Russo. And I don't give a good goddamn if you like Russo. He's got to go.
Yeah. Honestly,
he's not passionate about that at all, is he?
No, this is him. This is him toned down. This is him very relaxed.
The one thing you have to understand about me, Jackie, and anybody on this network can tell you, I hate stupidity.
Ah.
I hate stupidity with an unbridled and murderous passion. And when you get into things that make no logical sense and are in another sense just extremely stupid, like the things that have gone on with TNA over the past 3 years, it drives me nuts because this was a promotion that for a while I did like and I did follow and I went, oh my God, this could be the second coming of the boom period of wrestling. We could have another boom period if TNA could just start creeping up.
Right.
They were close.
And they were close. And then all of a sudden, we're going to run live on Mondays right next to Raw. That's a smart move. Because you're not going to get crushed there. No. That'll never happen.
Maybe next time they should announce the results of the World Heavyweight title match from Raw to get people to stay. That would be probably equally as intelligent.
Yeah, they tried it when they introduced Hogan on the 4th. They were like, yes, this is how we keep them here. We're going to give them the stars of the 80s. And I know for fans that are joining us and recognize my name going, you're the guy who used to do the results. Yeah, I'm the guy who used to do the results. If you went to TNA tapings, I was the cat from 2004 to 7 in Orlando. I was sitting there with a laptop. I would have smashed my laptop by now from the last year and change that I've done this show and watched, as Spug said, a product that was phenomenal, to use AJ Styles' nickname. That I just sat there and people were going, what'd you think of it? I was like, it was amazing. The shows were phenomenal. Now I'm sitting there and it's a shell of itself. And I'm sorry to say this, but Sting is not the answer. I get that you're trying to do this storyline where he's trying to turn Hogan from the dark side of the Force to the good side of the Force. But, you know, leave that to the Jedis, man. Get it out of my wrestling. I'm sorry.
No. This is another thing that bothers me. And we've said it multiple times about TNA, and I'm not trying to rehash that. I'm really not. You have a guy like Ken Anderson who you worked so hard to build back up after Sting came back in March and won the title off of him and held it for 3 months and then dropped it to him, including that horrible, horrible May pay-per-view against Jeff Hardy. He drops it to Anderson in June, and then all of a sudden, Anderson's first title defense, he's got to drop it back to Sting. You've just ruined one of your top stars. No wonder you failed at WCW, Bischoff. You did the same thing with Goldberg.
It's just mind-blowing, and we'll rack our brains for a while. But unfortunately, we have to wrap up, as much as I don't want to. But
I don't even get to talk about IWA.
Well, if you want to go ahead, well, before we close, let me pimp the shows real quick.
Okay.
Well, Pimp, tomorrow night is OTL with yourself and Omega. Is Mace making a cameo, or is he still locked up?
I believe he's still locked up.
Any idea what you kids might be talking about?
Not a clue.
Awesome. All right, now the next Tap Outs to Knockouts is August?
A couple weeks, I think.
So it's August 5th, maybe, the Saturday before the Hardcore Justice show? Can Rock help us out there?
Hold on, I'm looking!
Okay, so Sorokin's the god. He may have the stuff sitting there.
He's the god of internet radio. He's not the god of the internet. Al Gore might take offense to that. UFC Live is... Hardy versus Lytle. That's Sunday, August 14th. I don't think that's not the first event, though. UFC 133 is in 24 days.
So it is August 6th. Okay. So tap
yeah, but
outs
I think there's
knockouts.
I think there's a Strikeforce event before then, though.
Maybe not. I don't have a calendar in front of me.
I'm looking. July 22nd. Well, yes. There's a... July 22nd and July 30th are Strikeforce events.
Ah, okay. And you guys will cover those on Tap Outs to Knockouts?
I'm probably... The one I really want to watch is July 30th, Fedor versus Dan Henderson. So,
hey, Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's the one and only CB Radio, which is Sir Rockin', our friend Subway, and the Godfather himself. Tim, Rob Parks will be there.
It's the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. By the
way. Oh, I'm sorry.
Right.
It's the godfather of everything. The
Get it right, maggot.
This Sunday, no pay-per-view. So 10 o'clock Eastern is Wrestle Talk Radio with
Alan?
Spug. Yeah, what?
Money in the...
I know.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Just messing with you. Thank you. Yeah, so pay-per-view this Sunday, which means Wrestle Talk Radio is 11 o'clock Eastern. Might be there, might not. Depends if the bosses at my job have me in at 7 a.m. again. So tune in for that one. Are you guys down to the finals of the Great Debate yet?
Semis and finals this Sunday night all on Russell
who's
Talk
the,
Radio.
Who's the semis?
Oh, crap.
Your mom!
I have to pull up the format.
I don't think my mom's that influential in wrestling, but hey.
The finals... This is where things load. Moolah versus Elizabeth and Trish versus Sherry.
Ooh, that is an interesting matchup.
That would be awesome, actually.
Yep, so definitely check them out. This Tuesday night of next week, yes, I just said that wrong, who cares, we are definitely locked in to having the NWA National Heavyweight Champion Chance Profit on our show. He will talk about the controversy involving both the Sheik and Craig Classic and his now shot at the NWA World Heavyweight title. Johnny Cashmere may be with us next week. We're still negotiating a timeout for him to see if the man who calls himself Mr. Gay Philadelphia will join us. Hey, that tag team Vanilla Man Candy is still awesome name. I want to thank the folks from Card Subject to Change joining us, James Subasis, Tim Disboro, the legend of Kevin Sullivan. Man, I wish we had more time with him.
He sounded drunk and or tired.
He sounded like tired. He sounded like he was ready for bed.
Well, I'm not saying like drunk. I'm saying like, dude, the picture of him on Online World of Wrestling is him with a beer.
Nothing wrong with that, man.
Not a thing, but I'm just saying.
Oh, you have something to pimp. Go forth, Sir Rockin', and pimp away.
No details, just go to CanadianAllPro.com.
Hey. Jackie's gonna be around in and out, because myself and her and another gentleman, I'm gonna let her speak about the new project that we're working on with the history of WWE.com.
Well, we recently got picked up with Graham at thehistoryofww.com to do a WWE-centered podcast. There's not a whole lot of details to give right now as far as content because we're still ironing out the kinks, but it's going to be myself and Alan and our friend Teddy, and we're working on putting on a really great show, and we're going to have we have some guests lined up. Brian Shields, Graham will be joining us on the first episode, and I'm thinking Spug will be there periodically. So it'll be...
Never know.
Wait, I'm being told I'm going to be there?
She's asking very nicely.
You're welcome. And
I'm just saying, you're inviting Alan onto a WWE podcast, and nobody could be more of a WWE hater than Alan.
He was recommended by Graham. So that came with some pretty heavy fire behind it.
You know, I listen, I know you listen, Graham. Screw you too, buddy, for not mentioning my name. I'll remember that when people go, hey, what's a really good website or a book that I could pick up about the WWE? You know what I'll say? I'll tell them, go get WWE Unscripted. That's a really good book. Screw you, buddy.
We may have Brian back on in the coming weeks. So thanks to everybody for tuning in here on the program. Thanks to Spug. Thanks to Jackie for joining us tonight. Sir Rockin, who controls all our destinies, is the god of internet himself.
Internet radio. Tim... Internet radio.
Internet radio.
Yeah.
Damn it. Again, I get cut off. Fuck you.
I'm sorry.
I don't get to talk about the IWA. God damn it. You would have been really interested in this, too. Fuck you.
Okay.
Send us out, Alan.
Yeah, all on Willow Wilson Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network. I may not be on 24/7, but my show's always better than yours, bitch. Subliminal.